Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What do you want me to be? Sister. Here are the choices. This guy. Jeff, how are you? You look good today. Did you trim your eyebrows?
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
It's not really about sense of humor. It's about whether I want to humor you. Do I? Not really.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event for fun.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power is producing and engineering the show. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. We look forward to your participation, but we have a busy show today. Lots going on. The game didn't go like you wanted it to yesterday.
Oh, you think?
Tarek Skubal was dominant.
He was very good.
Is he set to go in game five? Or
what game five? You think we're getting a game five?
If there's a game five,
probably will be a game five. I don't want to really confront that or admit it to myself yet. Detroit's probably going to win a game at home. Hopefully they don't, but they probably will, and you'll come back to Cleveland with Tarek Skubal on the mound.
I'm not saying this in any way to tweak you. That's the most dominant pitcher in the game today. That guy is nasty.
He was very good. I'm not going to take anything away from him. I don't know how much those shadows affected hitters. Because Matt Boyd was good. But he shouldn't. I mean, he's okay. And he pitched really well.
Well, Detroit's not a great offensive team.
And then once the shadows went away, you started seeing more balls put in play, some more hits.
It got a little bit easier, but you didn't see much against Skubal.
A great confirmed catch by Stephen Kwan, which
I think. Was that a catch?
I don't know, to be honest. I've seen.
Be honest.
I don't know. That's the honest.
Well, you're a broadcaster. I was listening on the drive home from Wellington. Tom Hamilton, who's very good.
Well, no kidding.
And immediately said, that's a trap.
Dallas Braden thought it was a catch. There were a lot of others that thought he got the thumb of the glove under the ball. Now, in other pictures, too, it looks like it's on the grass. But is it on the thumb of the glove?
Well, it didn't matter.
Ultimately,
Harry Carpenter hit one. And Detroit gets that series even. And the Royals got their series even. I'm going to say this. The American League is there for the taking. I'm not overly impressed with any of the teams. The National League teams look markedly better.
Well, the American League has spent a lot of time beating up on each other, and that didn't necessarily happen. The National League series.
The Yankees aren't all that.
Are more interesting because they're they're all pretty interesting.
But they're all playing. The National League is where it's at. And I again, don't take that as some tweak. That's just the reality.
Yeah, but it's...
The Yankees don't look good.
It's an unfair reality. If the New York Mets were the Milwaukee Mets or the San Antonio Mets, you'd say the same thing about them.
I wouldn't.
They had a nice little run in the postseason. They've gotten some wins, or in the regular season, they've gotten a couple wins in the postseason. They gave one up. They almost gave up. It's like
the four teams in the National League that are left are powerhouse teams.
The Mets aren't a powerhouse.
They are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They don't have enough pitching to be a powerhouse.
They're a powerhouse team.
I disagree.
The four teams left in the American League. Any one of them could win it.
Yeah, but I think every
and there's
each
not,
of those
not
teams,
there's not one that stands out.
Each of those teams have a powerhouse element. It's not like there's not a reason they all got here. It's not like they didn't earn it. It's not like
I'm
they aren't.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the National League.
Yeah, no, not really.
Why do you get all defensive?
Because I just don't agree with it.
If you watch the two games yesterday, all you're thinking about is, can any of these teams hit? These aren't
because the pitching is better. That's why I just said
Matthew Boyd's not great, and he's not. Skubal's great. Rodon is not great. Reagan's didn't have as good stuff yesterday.
The Royals strung some hits together and won that game.
If you're going to tell me the Yankees are going to the World Series, they'll get swept.
No, they won't. Anybody can.
I'm telling you
I
right
hate
now.
That. I
don't
hate
care
that.
What you hate.
I absolutely hate that.
Do I come up here and have an opinion?
They're dumb opinions. They're impossible opinions to argue with because it's just so, well, they'll sweep them. They'll beat them 50-0. They're so much better. And it's like, what do you even say against that?
I've watched a lot of this stuff.
Every team in the postseason is there for a reason.
I'd rather play any of the American League teams.
That's wonderful.
Than any of the National League
teams. Wonderful. Doesn't matter.
And you know it.
No, I don't.
Admit it. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth?
No. Every team.
Of course you don't.
Every team that's there deserves to be there.
I'm not saying that.
Every team that's there.
These are the best teams in the American League. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the National League is clearly superior.
Wrong. That's just wrong.
Well, I think I'm right.
But you're not.
It's clearly superior.
No, it's not. And that's dumb. And it's if Houston had won, you'd be, well, Framber Valdez and Yordan Alvarez.
You know
look at
Houston
all these superstars.
Houston wasn't very good either.
But. Okay. Neither were the Mets for most of the season.
And who
did Padres got hot kind of late.
The Orioles weren't. The American League is weak.
Please.
Can I just say what everybody's thinking? I've been thinking about this all day.
Well, you've thought wrong. And you don't watch American League baseball, so you don't know.
Of course I do.
No, you don't. You don't watch it day in and day out like I do. And I don't like – the American League has been superior to the National League.
I don't gauge what I say on
decades. This
show about – on what you like.
But you're wrong.
I come on this show to share my opinion.
But your opinion is always based on what happened yesterday.
No, I've been watching I've been watching all elements. You're going to tell me that there's a team in the American League that would be favored over any of the teams in the
National
League.
Doesn't matter who's favored. Matters who wins. That's
are you,
it.
How do you feel about
can
that?
Can any American League team?
Would Cleveland be favored over any of the four National League
teams? I don't know if they'll be favored. I don't even know what that means, to be favored.
Well, look at you're the spokesman for FanDuel in this market.
You know
market.
What I know it means?
What do you think? What do you think FanDuel would do?
I don't care what FanDuel would do.
Wait a minute.
Do.
You're the spokesman.
And I don't care about who's favored. I care about who gets 27 outs first.
Are you not the spokesman?
I'm not even talking about that.
You're the man.
I'm not. We're not.
How do you think?
So this is now what you think now is you're only thinking about this as it relates to gambling.
No, when I say favored, that relates to gambling.
I don't care who's
favored. Who would be the favorite?
Who cares? I mean, who thinks about sports in those terms? I can't even imagine.
Why are you getting all defensive? I don't understand.
Are you one of those?
We started off pretty calmly.
Are you one of those win probability guys, too? Oh, well, Jeff.
Well, that's what gambling's based on.
Jeff, the Guardians are 71% to lose here. Who cares?
That's what gambling's
based
on. Who
gets 27 outs first?
And in this market, on this airwaves, you're the spokesman for FanDuel.
Great.
So give me a little FanDuel.
I'm not going to give you a little FanDuel look. I'm going to tell you what I believe baseball to be. Who gets 27 outs first? That's all it has. Doesn't matter who's favored.
Now, I will
all that
say
matters
this.
Is what's what goes on the field.
I will say this. Skubal is an X factor. He's clearly the best pitcher in the playoffs. And he could be trouble for anybody. But I'm trying to think of another ace on any of these teams that I think could maybe shut down
the
National League
lineup.
It's not all
about just the ace. It's not... You think
or a pitching staff?
You think Steven Vogt, if he gets to the World Series, is like we're riding Gavin Williams? No, he gets Gavin Williams out as
what
soon.
What pitching staff could shut down
Guardians? They've allowed
the Padres.
They've allowed
the
runs.
Mets, the Phillies.
Yes, every team. They've allowed runs in one inning out of 18. That's it. One ball hit. That's it. That has produced runs.
Well, you just said the shadows are affecting. Hitting there.
No, I didn't. I said I don't know how
you know,
much.
I should have been an attorney, shouldn't I?
But I didn't say that.
But I should have been an attorney. I could.
But I didn't say
I'd
that.
Have this,
court reporter look at the tape. Oh, he said I don't know how much the shadows are affecting things. Okay.
Wouldn't I have the jury in knots? They'd just be.
No, because
they'd be eating out of my palm.
Your arguments are bad, and they always have been. I wish you'd take that to heart, but you don't, and that's okay.
Why can't I get on this show and share my opinion?
You can,
That's all I do. I'm not here to antagonize.
You are antagonizing a little bit. Who's favored? Give me some
FanDuel. But if you weren't such a Guardians fan, it wouldn't be antagonistic.
Well, I'd be a fan of somebody, and you'd be antagonizing me about
them. The Yankees don't look good, and the Royals are going to get them.
Okay, I said the Royals would win yesterday. I felt that way.
The Yankees are not good. When they don't have their guys hitting, Stanton can't run, first of all, so he's got to hit. He's got to hit the ball off the wall or over the wall.
That double play was kind of crazy.
Judge hasn't gotten a hit yet.
Which is good. That's exactly how they should be approached.
They're not even pitching to him.
Nor should they.
And there's nobody in that lineup.
That's my point. I've talked about this since last week. You're going to do what you do best. And Kansas City's best isn't rolling out seven superstars in their lineup. It's going to their starting pitching, not pitching to these superstars.
They had Michael Garcia get four hits. You can't depend on that. Salvador came up with a big hit. Bobby Wood hasn't done anything at the plate yet.
But they piece it together from a pitching standpoint.
But part of that is because the Yankees aren't very good.
Fine.
And did they have the best record in the American League? I'm asking a question.
I believe so, but they don't have a way to piece it together from a pitching standpoint. They have Gerrit Cole, who's not been Gerrit Cole, not much else from a starting standpoint.
Instead of trying to sound like
So they are trying to win with
Bob
Aaron
Costas.
Judge.
Get in here with some emotion.
So they're trying to win with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and if the Royals aren't going to allow them to beat them, then the Yankees are going to have...
Who do you think you are right now, Mr. Analysis?
Why can't I just talk about the game?
Well, I don't know why you don't get in with some emotion.
I don't know why you don't understand that when it's the Phillies and the Mets, that series is going to be played and strategized different then the Phillies and the Padres, or the Padres and the Guardians, or the Tigers and the Royals. They're all going to be played different.
That was a good ball game yesterday, the Guardians and Tigers.
I didn't like it.
Very tense. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to figure out how to hit the ball.
The Guardians started to maybe get to Skubal and hit into some double plays, which awful situational hitting.
Yeah, we'll see about it. That's what I'll say.
We'll see who Detroit tries to roll out there in Game 3.
We'll see what Game 3 looks like.
I bet the Guardians score a couple in the first again.
Well, we'll see. I like the Guardians but you don't want to get to Game 5.
And you know I was just surrounded by bad vibes throughout that game.
I can't help the bad vibes.
The bad picture, the extracurricular activities.
Bad picture?
It didn't start. The picture was distorted.
Please.
And I missed the first pitch.
So you're blaming me and my TV.
Well, I'd like to get it fixed if you could.
Oh, my gosh.
I was part of the bad juju.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching the two games tonight in the National League, because that's been very highly entertaining, even in the 10-2 Padres win.
The only reason, again, if it was Padres Brewers, we wouldn't be as locked in.
The Brewers played an entertaining series against the Mets.
We have
the
two best rivalries in the National League going on.
I don't know about that. Where's Cardinals Cubs?
That's not a relevant rivalry right now.
Oh, please.
No one
cares. It's always relevant.
Who's going to win? Who's going to finish fourth?
Are you kidding me? And who's your rival, by the way?
There's not really.
Nobody has Cleveland as a rival. They don't bother with Cleveland.
Fine.
I mean, Detroit's rival isn't Cleveland.
Detroit and Cleveland are kind of rivals.
Not really.
Detroit or Cleveland and the Yankees, that's always been, I mean, everyone hates the Yankees. If you don't have a rival, it's the Yankees. The Royals' rival is the Yankees. But I wouldn't call it among the best rivalries in
Cardinals
baseball.
Cardinals have a good rivalry with the Brewers, with the Reds.
You got to keep up your end of the bargain if you're going to be in a rivalry.
The Cardinals have kept up their end of the bargain just fine.
No, they haven't.
Over the years.
But I'm talking about right now.
Well, right now.
Are there two better rivalries? Are there any better rivalries?
No, right now, because they're both in, they're playing for the
and they
get
do
the
not
National
like
League
each other.
Championship series. Of course they don't like each other.
So that's part
of
the
theater.
I like
this on this show. This is a version of that.
Well, we've always been Phillies. A good rivalry.
And I'll tell you what, right now, if there's a brawl, you're done.
Well, bring it.
Here's what we have on the show today on that intimidating note. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, one of our frequent go-to guests. We'll talk about K-State football. Here we are nearing or at the halfway point of the college football season. Time flies. Have you noticed that?
A little bit.
It's crazy. Fitz will join us at 2:25. At 2:45, we'll have the head football coach of the Goddard Lions, Tommy Beeson. They're coming off a big win over previously number one ranked in Class 5A and over Central. That's a big win for them. And then in hour number two, we've got a game that we look forward to. The Chiefs, we'll get to them a little more detail later. They covered against the Saints. Of course, we all had that. I think Max didn't. What about the big fella, Anthony?
I don't remember.
They're not here. We're at the Rudd. Anthony went 0-4.
That's too bad.
I feel terrible for Anthony.
You don't want to have that kind of week.
I feel terrible for Anthony. Duda had an incredible week. I had a very good week. I'm starting to get it turned around. Have you noticed?
I haven't noticed, no.
Well, you should. I was 6-2 last week. This week, another really superlative week. And things are looking up. What are you looking on your phone about?
I'm just scrolling around, clicking around. Everything's good.
Who would have had in week five for the Chiefs, who would have had their biggest weapons being Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster? Anybody?
Nobody.
Anybody got that? That's crazy.
Well, one of them wasn't even on the roster 2 weeks ago.
They just roll people out, and Patrick Mahomes figures out a way to get production out of them.
And they're 5-0. And they don't even need to play well to win these games. They play well sometimes.
Their defense is so good.
It is. It's probably the best defense in the NFL right now.
And the offense is just good enough, and whenever they plug somebody in, I mean, no team, and I know the NFL is littered with injuries. No team's missing what the Chiefs are in Rice, Pacheco, and Hollywood Brown. I mean, that's just – any other team would be decimated.
Correct.
With that kind of an injury report.
Probably,
and
yeah.
The Chiefs win.
There are some teams with pretty good depth, but you don't want to miss out on
that. I don't even know
like
if
that.
This is good depth. They just – they make them good.
Well, Xavier Worthy and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Kareem Hunt if those didn't have a team, dude.
I understand. But we saw, like, Tyrone Tracy come in for the Giants and rush for 130 yards. Who's that? I don't know how some of this stuff happens. I don't know if running backs are getting better. I don't know what's happening. But you see some unknown guys do this relatively often in the NFL.
Kelce had another good game. Mahomes, no touchdowns.
They got Kelce involved early.
They moved the ball. He had his highest passing yardage game of the season. They moved the ball consistently against a New Orleans team that started so well, now has lost three in a row.
Yeah, and before yesterday they were losing close games, and now David Carr might be down. So that's
David
the team.
David Carr,
yeah,
he's been down for a while.
Chuck Carr,
why don't you get it right, man?
Baby, you can drive my car.
Derek Carr is who you're referring to, and if we're going to lead the
Floyd
listeners
Carr.
Astray, we don't. We might as well not even answer the bell for a show.
Who is the
David Carr?
Celtics coach.
What are you, 1997?
Who is the Celtics coach? ML Carr.
ML Carr was a fantastic number 30 back in his playing days.
Yeah, don't get Max going. I don't need that right now.
Back in the playing days for ML Carr.
Yeah, he wasn't a good coach.
Didn't do much as a coach.
For the Celtics, unfortunately.
A good role player for the Celtics. Let's
Somebody
take
had
a break. We will return and talk K-State football with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Let's get to Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. The last time K-State went out to play a late game on in the western part of the country against BYU, it didn't go well. They go to Colorado this week to play the Buffaloes, a 9:15 start. Is there anything to that? And first of all, welcome, Fitz.
I'm here to share my thoughts. Yeah. Look, I still can't explain what happened at BYU. I mean, it was really 5 or 6 minutes of just utter collapse, calamity, everything going wrong. And this is a new game. But they have to prove they can play better on the road. They weren't very good at Tulane, at least in the first half they weren't. So putting together, you know, a more complete game on the road is step one. Whether you win that or not, you got to play better. And I think if they do play well, though, they'll win at Colorado.
So you could tell me that this is not a thing at all, but do you think there's any challenge to go into Colorado and be surrounded by all that hoopla and everything that Colorado seems to be about? Is that maybe if they were pros, they might be able to handle that better, but these are still college kids. Maybe they get caught up in it themselves. Do you think that is at all an element to this game?
Great question, Jeff. I'm not sure. And you know, what really makes this more relevant is the Dylan Edwards storyline. Starting at Colorado, now being at K-State, he'll be a huge focal point for Colorado fans and the Colorado players as they keep bringing him up. I did a podcast yesterday, and I originally used a Dylan Edwards photo on it, and then when we recorded the darn thing, we didn't talk about Dylan Edwards because it's not as big a story here. So maybe they'll put that away because Dylan said, no, I'm just going to play a football game, and they won't really get caught up in it. But I know this. The folks in Boulder are caught up in it, and because of that, they've got a really lively and hostile crowd. It'll be packed. It'll be loud. I'm looking forward to it.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, publisher, founder. You mentioned something interesting there about you did a podcast and didn't mention Dylan Edwards. So my question would be, how important is it for K-State football to become offensive, I'm struggling to think of the word, for their offense to incorporate Dylan Edwards in a way where he does become relevant from week to week, and you do talk about him on podcasts?
That's true. I mean, he's been really effective, even when he hasn't touched the ball but been on the field. And that's what, in fact, that's what tomorrow's Daily Delivery video will be about for me, is how to use Dylan Edwards in this game to affect. That may not even mention him touching the ball, at least in, you know, from the line of scrimmage. They're going to be so focused on him, I think it could create a great distraction for Colorado whenever he's on the field. But then again, we got to keep this in mind. Colorado turned over half their roster in the offseason. Dylan Edwards isn't the only one that left. Almost half the team did, and then they brought in another half to be new. So there'll be a big chunk of that team that don't even know Dylan Edwards from anyone else on K-State.
Yeah, how fair is it, I guess, to expect that there will be different things tried? You went into the bye week coming off probably your best offensive showing of the season when everything really seemed to click and just about everybody who was involved had a good game. So was there a week of adjustments? Was there a week of let's continue to do what we're doing? How was the bye week kind of approach for K-State?
During bye weeks, they try to get healthy. They try to get rested. I mean, even if a guy is, quote, healthy, not injured, he's hurt. He's got aches and pains, and he wants to get those cleaned up because trust Bob and I when I say, as old people, you get aches and pains you got to live with. Young people, you can get over them. And I think that's what they use a lot of. They run their younger guys a lot, with different sets, working in with K-State's offense and not the scout team as much. Coach Kleiman talks about, his freshman quarterback, Blake Barnett, getting to do that. And since he was injured all spring and catching up in the fall, it was really the first time to see him running the K-State offense. So a lot of that goes on. But they did do some Colorado prep. I know that because I think they all realize that this is a big game. And after what happened this weekend with Colorado winning at UCF, this team might be finding itself, and you can't ignore the substance of the talent that they have at Colorado.
Both teams 4-1 heading into Saturday's 9:15 p.m. kickoff in Boulder, Kansas State at Colorado. We're talking with Tim Fitzgerald. Obviously, Colorado has two of the most electric players in college football in Travis Hunter, their two-way, and in quarterback Shedeur Sanders. And neither of them has disappointed. In fact, both of them might be playing even better than anyone could imagine. What's the key for Colorado as this season unfolds to take those two Heisman candidates and make it so that that team maybe can contend for a Big 12 title? What do they need to do better?
We saw them do it at UCF. The two elements there is you got to stop the other team's run, get them off the field. Because if you don't, they can ball hog, and we're not going to see Shedeur Sanders throwing touchdowns if he's standing on the sideline. The other thing is they have to run the ball. They have to keep defenses honest. Once they prove they can run the ball with some consistency and maybe with some threat that it's going to go a long ways, then I think things will get a little bit easier for those two. But I got to be honest, Bob, Travis Hunter is one of the best college football players I've seen in my lifetime. Only because, you know, we talk about players getting gassed because they played 60, 70, 80 snaps. He's playing every snap. Everyone. And he doesn't seem to be winded, and he seems to be still elite on both sides of the ball. It's absolutely incredible what he's doing. And you can't just ignore the massive amounts of talent Colorado has just because they haven't fully gelled. We started to see them gel a little bit in Orlando.
Is the Big 12 playing out sort of like you thought? There, some of the teams at the top may be different than what we expected. Texas Tech is off to a good start. I don't know if we expected this from BYU, and West Virginia played well. So is it the same as maybe you would have expected, the jumbledness of it, or and maybe just the teams are different?
Iowa State you didn't mention.
True.
Yeah. I thought Iowa State is a contender all along. I mean, I think I might have picked them third in my poll in this conference. I think they're legit, but this weekend we'll sort that out in a way. Because they have to go to West Virginia. West Virginia thinks they're on track. They haven't beaten anyone. They just haven't. And certainly in the Big 12. And you look at, substance. And you look at who was I talking about? Iowa State. They got the great win at Iowa. Look at the rest of the
You've done too many podcasts, Fitz.
That's exactly right. I'm on like my third one in the last few hours. So, I think Iowa State's good. I just want to see more, and winning at West Virginia is more. And if West Virginia beats a good Iowa State team, I think that says, okay, maybe the Mountaineers are in this to play, and that's who K-State plays next week.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com is our guest. I want to go inside journalism a little bit here, because let's say I've been assigned to go write the tell-all feature on DJ Giddens. I'd probably spend a lot of time talking to those who are in his life. What would I get from DJ Giddens? How could I get him? Has anybody ever gotten him to really tell his story? Or is that just kind of an impossibility at this point? We know how quiet he is.
Right. I don't think it's impossible. I just think the setting has to be right. And, you know, for the rest of us, for most of us in the media now, the setting is always a press conference, a media opportunity, or even if you get him on a podcast or something, that just isn't the setting. He's gonna flourish in a one-on-one setting where he's not really conscious of cameras or recorders. And Bob, this is a good question because I've thought about this. I think the only way to get an in-depth interview with DJ, go fishing with him. Just go fishing with him. Go, you know, have a buddy take you out on a lake, and just spend the day with him, just talking. You can't really have a camera crew per se, but maybe you can set up cameras and have everyone mic'd up and just go talk to him throughout the day. You might get enough for a small article, but I don't know about a book. He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible as a player. And as a person, because it's all about he wants to go play. He doesn't want to sit around and talk about it. He doesn't want to break down plays. He just wants to go out there and mix it up, and boy, he's turned into a whale of a running back.
He is a load. That ought to be a heck of a game coming up Saturday. Kansas State at Colorado. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com has been our favorite, or our guest. I looking at the word thank favorite. You. K-State is
you've a, been our favorite you. Too, Tim.
You are our favorite, thank but you. K-State is a 3.5 point favorite in that game. That's a tough game to pick, isn't it?
The Colorado game, yeah, it's coming back down a little bit because I don't know what we're going to see from Kansas State. I just don't. I've been so miserable on the road and played questionable periods that made it almost impossible to win on the road. And yet, this is a good football team. Once they prove it on the road, I think they're going to take off. And they might want it to be this Saturday if they plan on being in the Big 12 championship.
And one other thing before I let you go, we're going to have John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant on the show later in the week. But have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen a team implode?
No.
Even though
no.
KU's playing competitive games, they can't figure out how to win one after very high hopes going into this season. And seemingly for very good reason, they've won one game. How unreal is that?
The way they're losing is unfathomable. To lead all five losses in the second half and four of them in the fourth quarter. So I kind of feel like once they figure out what is going wrong, when teams run their two-minute drill, we just let them score. Because that's what's happening. And they get Jalen Daniels back on track. And honestly, the play caller remembers that they've got really good running backs. Once they figure all that out, shouldn't seem, you know, that far away. They're going to start beating people. I still think they're a really talented team. But now you're seeing the psychological side of it catch up to them. And they're thinking whenever they're in that situation, they're going to lose. And guys, that's the first thing Lance Leipold had to unwind when he took over that program, is that acceptance of failure. And he had it solved. And now it's coming back. And that has to be alarming to him.
Fitz, we always appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys. Great to talk to you.
All right. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Catching up on K-State football. Here's Tommy Beeson, head football coach at Goddard High School. They are coming off a huge win last Friday night against Andover Central. And I got to tell you, Andover Central had, at least from the look of their scores, had looked a little bit unbeatable. But, Tommy, you beat them. How'd that happen? And welcome.
Hey, Bob. Appreciate you guys having us on to talk a little bit about our club. They're a tremendous team. They played in the 4A state championship game last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they get the opportunity to make it run and doing that again. They are super talented, senior-laden team. Coach Tuttle's a stinking great guy on top of being a really good coach, and I expect a lot out of that Andover Central team. I don't think we're as talented. We're sure not as big. I don't think we're as fast. But our kids at Goddard play really, really hard. And I think it came down on Friday night to literally being in a pretty tough dogfight. It came down to we play as hard as anybody else out there. And if we have a couple breaks go our way, I think we're a dangerous team.
Man, I'm glad you said that you're not as talented. I'm not saying you're not as talented, but I'm glad you said it, because I was going to ask a question based on the premise that was an upset, and I didn't want to offend you. So am I okay calling that an upset?
I think that it'd be hard to tell our kids that they don't deserve the chance to be in every game. I mean, if on paper is an upset, absolutely. We had their number a year ago. We've had a good string of luck against those guys. Maybe we kind of know what they do and how they do it, so we put our kids in a good position to be successful. But it comes down to the kids executing, and I think I don't know that Andover Central overlooked us. I don't think that's probably a fair assessment. But I do think that our kids rose to the challenge, and I think that we certainly were, like you said, if we were the underdogs, I think we were probably more than the underdogs just on paper. I think standing next to them, those guys dwarf us up front, and they've got a tremendous staff on their side, and we're just fortunate to get the win.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, if that truly was an upset, do you go into this week like, now this is who we are now, and I coach differently, and these kids showed me something different, and maybe they played above their head a little bit, or are there just like maybe specific elements you can take from a win like that to implement into practice this week and moving
that's
forward?
That's a good question. Chad, that's a good question. I think the interesting thing about our team is I don't think we've played as well as we can yet. I think we have so much more to give. Offensively, we've had to rebuild basically our entire team. Last year, we only brought back a single player that was a starter from a year ago on our offense. So that week one game against Mays, we literally had 10 guys start their very first varsity football game on offense. On defense, we only brought back four. So when you only have five returning players, it takes a little while to get your feet under you and get to the place where you think you're playing your best ball. And I don't think we've gotten there yet. Defensively, we're very solid. We're very consistent. We're a good tackling bunch that play with a lot of enthusiasm. But offensively, I don't think we're near where we need to be a consistent winner yet. And I think that's only something we can get better at every week.
We're talking with Goddard football coach Tommy Beeson. He's been doing this a while now. Goddard now 4-1 after their win over Andover Central. They go to Salina to play Salina South coming up this Friday. Tell us about some of your personnel. Who are some of the guys that not only stood out in the win over Andover Central, but are keys for your team going forward?
Yeah, we're not a very deep club with our senior group. We've been fortunate in years past. Last year, we graduated over 30 seniors in our program. But this year, we only have 15. We only have 15 seniors on our team. Our junior class and sophomore class are over twice the size of our senior class. So the few seniors that get to play on Friday nights are super important to us. It's no question to anybody who's come to a game to watch us yet that Preston Hagel, our spokesperson, our team captain, our starting inside linebacker, he's the heart and soul of what we're trying to be and trying to do. Preston is a four-year player for. He's a nationally ranked wrestler. He's a dog in the weight room. I think he power cleans like 340. He's just a tremendous young person on top of all that. So Preston, he wears jersey number 22, and you can't really come to our games without seeing him because he really stands out. This last week, he had three sacks against Andover Central on a little scheme we had kind of dialed up where they couldn't quite find him. And man, he lived up to the hype on Friday. He definitely led our team defensively. We also have another young man who's going to be highly recruited, I believe. Last name is Cohens, Jaden Cohens, and he plays cornerback for us. And the thing about Jaden is he's also probably the funniest guy on our whole team. He's kind of a class clown, but super lovable and approachable. And he's been talked to by some major universities, and hopefully he gets the chance to do that.
Does he remind you of me in that realm?
Well, we've hung out at quite a few baseball games, Bob. I don't know if you guys have that much in common. you probably have some of the same taste in music. He's kind of an old soul, so maybe you guys can find some music that's alike. His mom's an audiologist here in town, and they're a really good family. But Jaden is he's a character. I'll tell you that. That's the best way a coach can describe a guy. Probably is he's a character. And honestly, so, past that, we've got several other seniors that are doing a great job. Landon Colehorse, Brock Haskell, Alex Carpenter, and then after that, we are a young bunch. We only start five seniors, so 17 of our guys, including our kicker. So I guess 18 if you count that guy. 18 of us will be back for it again next year. So we feel like we're playing above our station a little bit right now, but hopefully Friday we can keep it up.
Yeah, so I don't want to look too far ahead, but we do know that you will be playing at least one playoff game. I'm sure you'll want to play more and probably will. So how do you think you can and will win in the postseason, especially when you get into deeper rounds? You're probably playing some high-powered offenses. We know you're very good defensively. How are you going to score? How do you think you'll put points on the board in those games? I'm not saying you won't. I'm just asking how you will.
That several times, Coach. Jeff, I've asked myself that every week. We got to score better. That's no doubt. I don't think that's a shot on who we are, what we're trying to do either. I think what people have to remember is that we're in Goddard. We're very okay with being unique. We want to be different. We run a little bit of a double wing style run first offense. I know it sounds ridiculous, but we've played five varsity football games, and we've completed one pass this season. We actually did complete a pass for a two-point conversion last Friday on our only we only had one attempt in the game. So we've kind of made a name for ourselves. We want to run the football and take possessions and milk the clock. And we just kind of have a unique way of doing it. So the reason why we do it that way is hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we get a good draw in the playoffs where we have some good matchups. And it's hard for other teams to prepare for, number one. And number two, it's very weatherproof. I had a team a few years ago I thought was super, super talented, much more talented than the team I have now. But we based most of what we did around one player who was our quarterback. When he got injured, pretty much the season was lost. And so we've now built the thing we're doing today where it's not dependent on one guy. Neither side of the ball nor special teams is not dependent on one superstar player. Do we have some good players? We do. We're very fortunate. But we're built to last, and we're built to be weatherproof. We've got to be better offensively, and I'd be the first one to talk about firing our offensive coordinator because it's me. But I know that we can get better, and we've got to do better in order to keep this ball rolling. But if we can figure that out and we can get in the end zone a handful more times, I'm super confident that when we get to the playoffs, there are a lot of teams in the 5A bracket that are good that want no part of us.
Final moment here with Tommy Beeson, head football coach at Goddard. So right now there's two really good teams in your community. Eisenhower is having a very special year. They're 5-0. They beat you earlier this year. What's that like in a community like Goddard where both football teams are really playing at a high level? How much fun is that?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I will tell you, I can't really answer the question because we haven't really done it before. I mean, last year, both our teams were probably, I think we combined for the most wins we had with our two programs split a year ago. And this year, we're on pace to beat that number. So Darren, who's a good close friend of mine, Coach Fisher over at Eisenhower, we chat every week. And I think the world of him. I think he's a tremendous coach. He's much smarter than I am. But the idea that we're both winners is a very new thing. We've had some years where we've been tremendously good. We've had some deep playoff runs, and I've been fortunate at Goddard to win more games than we've lost. But we've also had some down years. And in those same down years, Eisenhower's had better seasons. And so the idea that we're finally both, I wouldn't say on top of the mountain, but last year we won our league. They also went to play in a sub-state. And this year we're both on track to maybe finish in the year with a loss or less. We've never really done it before, so I can't really say from experience. I know what it's like. We're kind of experiencing every day.
Do you get out of breath talking about anything besides football? I get it, man. There are some things I'm really passionate about. I love how much you love football. But, man, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm sure my wife gets tired of listening to me. So maybe when you guys ask me a question, I finally think there's a captive audience. You already got me stuck on your show, so I figure at least now if I'm chatting and I got something to talk about with my guys, I could do that for hours, and maybe you guys are just stuck with me.
No, we love it. I love it.
Well, your passion runs through, and we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show today. Best of luck this Friday at Salina South and into the future. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks so much for what you guys do for high school sports. I appreciate you.
Tommy Beeson, head football coach. Goddard High, was he at North when you were there?
Not when I was there. I think a little later. I feel like he took about three or four of my questions, all of them, as insults, but I meant them all complimentary.
Well, they were a little insulting. I winced at a couple of them.
You pulled an upset. You don't score enough, Tommy.
Yeah, the guy's sitting there coming off the biggest win, one of the biggest wins he's ever had, and he has to endure that.
But when you have a guy who will talk and will share and knows what he's talking about, you do want to kind of get a little deeper with some questions.
That's not deeper.
I didn't insult him. I just feel like...
You just used the word yourself.
No, I said he probably took it that way, but I meant all three questions in a complimentary...
Well, I'd like to treat our guests a little more respectfully, if you don't mind.
Well, you do that, and I'll pepper them.
Well, I don't like that. We got a game coming up, hour number two. Is it for Max to play as well?
Of course Max is going to play.
With his track record?
Well, he'll lose, but he will play.
We'll be back. Robert Sala, is that how you say it? Sala, fired as the Jets coach. No surprise there. Aaron asks for it to happen. Aaron gets what he wants.
Probably.
We'll talk a little bit about that, the NFL. We got big baseball coming up tonight, some Chiefs talk. You name it, we'll talk about it. Plus, I'm no longer on Twitter. We'll get to that. Hour number two, just ahead.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
These employees that are always wanting a pat on the back, I don't have time for it. You think people are running by me telling me what a good job I'm doing on this show?
Hi, Ohio!
Jeff Lutz.
Never. And there's a reason for it. You're not doing that good of a job.
Oh, shocking. Monstrous.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Listen to this if you can.
Welcome back. This is the Bob and Jeff Show, hour number two, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power producing and engineering. 869-1240 is the phone number. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald and Tommy Beeson for being on the show in hour number one. We're going to get to a game coming up a little bit later in this hour. I had an ordeal. Yesterday was a weird day in about 75 different
ways. Man, I told somebody today. I told somebody
one
today.
One of the worst days.
Feels like Friday already. I feel like I had four different days yesterday.
Well, yesterday was difficult. I had my moment where I just got fed up with X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. I lashed out. I kind of put myself in a position where I had to drop it. I dropped it. I deactivated. I went back and reactivated because I wasn't sure I wanted to deactivate. Then I became sure again. And eventually, I messed up some things and used a new email. I tried to create a new account.
With the email already used.
Yeah, which with an email that I had already used.
Just deactivated.
And that didn't go well. So what I ended up doing is erasing, even though there's still an @BobLutz out there, although now it's been deactivated.
No, it's out there.
No, I deactivated.
When did you deactivate it?
Earlier.
Today?
I can't find it.
Okay.
I eliminated all of my followers and everyone I followed. It was 0 and 0 in both accounts.
Well, you got like 200 people you're following. Well, that was just what I saw.
That way down.
That's just what I saw today.
I had a moment more than a moment. I had a period of time yesterday where I was a little bit of a madman, a little bit of a disconnected, not sure what I was doing.
Yeah, you're never
kind of sitting in the corner.
I probably should have advised you against that.
Against what?
Against dropping Twitter, but it's so unhealthy. It's just.
But for the most part, I don't get involved in it.
Then what did you need to? What did you feel like you needed to drop it for?
I don't know.
What
because I do things sometimes without really
thinking and without.
I said sometimes.
I'll finish all the sentences.
I do a lot of things after I have thought.
Really?
Yes.
Like what?
Like a kitchen remodel.
I guess.
You still don't like that.
I love it.
Have you seen the cat?
I love the look. I love that you're happy, and I'll leave it at that.
No, go ahead.
No, it's all good.
Wait till it's done.
I told you what I want.
And walk into that kitchen, and boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Now, I won't be able to post any photos on Twitter about it because my Twitter days apparently have ended.
Facebook.
And I'm not sure I completely wanted that to happen.
Well, you talked about...
But it has happened.
Yesterday.
And now nobody can even reach out to me on Twitter.
It feels like you're yelling at me.
I am yelling.
Stop.
I used to get communication...
Not much.
...on this show, about this show on Twitter. Are they going to reach out on Facebook
now? Not much. You didn't get much.
I had 10,000 plus followers on
Twitter. And no one is engaged. No one engaged anymore. I saw your post.
I had over 70 like the post I put up about I'm going to drop Twitter.
They probably felt like you were a hero to them. Like, I wish I could do that. I hate this place.
Maybe what I did was heroic. Is that how you're...
And I basically did drop Twitter.
Yeah, but you didn't completely drop it like I did.
I have that Guardians account that I still check occasionally, and I spy on you and a couple other people.
You didn't drop it like I have. It's completely gone from my world.
No one knows I'm there. No one can... I mean, outside of...
I can't spy on anyone.
I want to drop it. I think I'll drop it altogether.
See, now you're reacting.
Not really reacting. I just don't see a need for it. All it does is make my blood boil.
Here's what's happened today without Twitter. Productive day.
See?
Gotten a lot done. Haven't looked at my phone nearly as much.
Doesn't that feel nice?
A couple times I've gone looking for Twitter, but it's no longer there. And not one time have I been tempted to reactivate anything.
Yes, you have. You're talking about it right now.
I did it yesterday. I got through it. I got through a lot of twists and turns.
And I'll read this Facebook comment from you.
You go right ahead and read any comment you want.
I will, because it suggests that what you're saying right now isn't necessarily the truth or how you actually feel or what you actually
it's how I feel. I don't share things that I don't feel.
Is that true?
Well, get to the post.
Well, I'm trying. There's a bunch of comments on this dumb post that you put up.
That bothers you that I get so much engagement on Facebook.
No, it doesn't.
You've said it before. Meanwhile, you get very little.
I get plenty. I don't
just
have a
forget the post.
I can't even find it.
Right. We don't care. It's not important.
Oh, yeah, here it is. No, it's not. I don't know where it is.
Well, we don't.
But you said you wanted to be a part of the vitriol and you kind of felt bad.
No, I said I am drawn to that.
Right. That's
the turmoil.
Being drawn
is my word.
Yeah, being drawn is also being a part of it.
I didn't use vitriol.
Yeah, you did.
I used the word turmoil.
Oh, that's right.
And I said
those are
later
pretty
in that post.
Close.
That I'm now on this lonely island. I don't mind a lonely island.
Yes, you do.
What do you mean I do?
You want feedback. You want engagement. You want to know what people think. I think everybody does to some degree want that.
I get that on Facebook, don't I?
I think you'll have, we talked about the Bob and Jeff draft. I think you'll have more votes
on Facebook.
Than you did on.
How do I set up a poll, though?
You just set it up. I'm sure there's a button on there on Facebook where if you start making a post, yeah, you can.
I last night as I'm watching the game, there were three or four times when I wanted to go to Twitter to share a thought. Just to share a thought. I couldn't do it. I wanted to say, man, the Yankees aren't that good.
Is that something that needed.
It did, because people are hanging on it.
Is that something that needed to be out there?
I've got people hanging on it.
Here are the three elements of, should I say something? Is it, and I didn't make this up, but it's out there. Is it kind?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
Is it necessary?
Yes. Every single post I've ever put.
Really? They've all been kind?
Well, if we followed that, we wouldn't even have Twitter.
Right. So why don't we just be kind? That's...
I'm all for not being
a struggle.
On.
It's a struggle every day to exhibit kindness.
Elon ruined Twitter with that for you part because as human beings, that's what we're drawn to. You can put a nice what's the analogy I want to use?
I don't know what you're going for here at all.
What do I need? What's a nice analogy that won't get
us? I don't know what you're trying to say, so I can't give you an analogy.
So you got these two options, right? You got the just go with the people you're following. Most of them are fine, and there's nothing that's going to be ratcheted up. Or you can go over to the for you part. And
your
blood will boil, and you got all these morons,
to that?
Uh-huh.
I never go to 4U. Every time that I see I'm accidentally on 4U, I immediately go back to the following tab.
But I just said I'm made for turmoil.
Well, you're the only one. Everybody I know hates 4U.
Why do you think...
And believes it's wildly unnecessary and unkind and untrue.
Why do you think I was a sports columnist?
I mean, I like getting people riled up as much as the next guy. But to base your online footprint and identity off of that, I don't think that's
I think most people kind, view me as a nice guy.
Or necessary.
That's what I'll just go ahead and say it. I think most people think, he's a nice guy.
Do they?
I don't know, dude. You tell me.
I don't know.
You hear. What are they saying?
They say he could be nicer.
Is that what you hear a lot?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are you being honest?
I was at David Michael Hahn's party. There were a lot of people there that said, your dad could be nicer.
Really?
No, not really.
Why'd you throw that out there?
No one there knew who you were.
Oh, now you think that hurts me more.
I don't know if they knew who you were or not, but I know that they enjoyed our show on Friday, David Michael Hahn and me.
You know, I wish we had Nielsen's and could show you how much the listening drops off.
You think it just turned off right at 2? Oh, we get to listen to Bob and Jeff.
No, they listened. They thought I was on. Then you got on.
I'm
you
saying
said,
once David Michael
I got David Michael Hahn, did it click, click, click.
Right, so that's basically.
I mean, it was just a massive amount of.
So that's basically right at 2, so that's what I'm saying.
No offense to our friend David Michael Hahn. I hope he doesn't take it that way.
He did a good job.
Well, there's no question he does a nice job.
He did a good job. I don't know if does is quite
oh,
there
now
yet.
You're a. Now he's, you're going to throw
he's
him
gotta,
under
the he's got to do it a couple more times before I say he does a nice job. But for now, I'll say he did a nice job.
Well, you'll figure it out.
And we've got the Lebanese dinner coming up this weekend.
Are you going?
I can't. I'm going to Denver.
When are you
going to
be gone?
Monday.
You're not here Monday.
Monday, Thursday, Friday
next
week.
Have we checked with Duda?
Well, I've told you those days, so I don't know. I've already given you my dates.
Monday, Thursday, Friday next week.
Yes. And perhaps the following Monday, but we'll see.
Good grief, man.
We got an early flight on Sunday. I'm going to be sleeping.
Answer the bell.
It's my anniversary.
No, I don't. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to be on the show.
I probably will.
All these days off and leaving me with to figure it out.
Well, get ready. It's just a few days and tomorrow.
We'll figure it out.
There will be a show somewhere or there won't.
Wait a minute. You're not here tomorrow?
I told you that already.
Well, I don't have anybody tomorrow.
Well, I got to be there for my AC thing.
Well, find out if they can come early.
I can't. I can't leave work again. I left work Monday when they were supposed to come out.
Well, I don't know
how that.
I can't
just keep telling people, hey, I got to go back for my HVAC. I had to go back for an estimate, and I had to go back for yesterday when they were supposed to come out.
I don't know what to tell you on that.
And I'm not, my friend, for a plethora of reasons, watching the Guardians at your house again.
Why?
For a plethora of reasons.
No, it's not a plethora. It's a plethora of reasons.
You can probably identify most of them.
Well, I don't know why.
I just need to be in my comfort zone.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I mean, you can't just drop that on me.
I told you yesterday.
Dude is not available. The big fella's not available.
Well, maybe Mike Furches is available.
Mike's not available.
How do you know? Did you call him?
Listen, I got to do a sports show here. I got things to talk about. I got people to engage.
You can't text Mike. He doesn't reply to texts. But you can call him, and he'll answer.
Well, I don't care about that.
Just
Don't worry about what I do.
I think there's something.
Put your damn phone down.
Why?
Because I'm tired of you lifting your phone up.
You lift your phone up.
Every 2 minutes.
I'm lifting it up again.
I rarely look at my phone during a show.
That is patently false.
So what time do the Phillies and Mets get going today?
4:08, I believe.
Good. I hope to be, I won't be home till about 5. So I'll look forward to that. And then we've got Dodgers Padres in a living room that is full of stuff. Just full of stuff.
It sure is.
And it's this is a mental challenge because of our kitchen remodel. and everything we had to pull out of the kitchen and just put it elsewhere in the house.
Man, it's kind of cool, though. I kind of like having a refrigerator in the living room.
That's craziness.
That is an innovation that I didn't know that I needed.
Well, it's blocking the exit.
Yeah, big deal. It's a refrigerator in the living room. If other people had that kind of courage, man, that's admirable. If you just did that on your own, where do you want to put this refrigerator? In the living room. No one's ever done that. That's brilliant.
I've got one now.
And I suggest maybe you don't move it or you find another spot for
it. No, we're
not doing
it. Don't be an idiot.
But what an idea.
Why? You can't get up and go to the kitchen?
No.
All the other food's in the kitchen. So you go to the refrigerator?
Hey.
Where do you keep the bread then?
Build me a pantry in the living room.
Really?
Sure.
When is your wife gonna wise up?
Well, I have an open area, right? I don't have to miss anything when I go to the kitchen or the dining area or the pantry.
When is your wife just gonna say, you know what, I'm done here?
She loves my forward thinking and outside the box.
I don't know about that.
Unconventional ways.
Royals tomorrow have Seth Lugo against Clark Schmidt. That's what I mean about the Yankees.
He's been pretty good.
They're in a place where they got to start Clark Schmidt.
Hasn't he had a pretty good year?
Not really.
Or am I speaking out of turn?
He had a decent year last year, but he's not. There's nobody worried about facing Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, he's 2.85 ERA in 16 starts, 93 Ks in 85 innings. He's not. I'm not afraid of him, but it might not be a comfortable.
I'm not all that high on Clark Schmidt.
He's their best option right now, and Alex Cobb is Cleveland's, and we'll see what Detroit does.
Are you going with Alex Cobb?
Who hasn't pitched in over a month?
I don't like that.
I don't think anybody likes it.
And then, you got...
Is Stroman hurt? Why haven't they tried him out?
I don't get it.
He didn't have a very good year. Luis Gil's still there.
And then in game four, what would the Royals do?
Probably go back to their game one starter.
When was game one?
Yes, well, it was Saturday.
Saturday?
And they don't play again until Thursday.
Hold on a second now.
No, they
don't be crazy. So they Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Michael Walker could be the game.
You only need three starters in this division series.
And then you're set up with Reagans.
And Lugo right out of the chute if you make it that far.
Yeah.
They're in a good spot. Every team's in a good spot.
Well, depending on how game three
goes. Scooble wouldn't be able to go in game five.
They're all tied.
Or in game one.
They're all tied going to game three.
The Royals are in really the best spot.
Wait a minute. I'm talking. These are really important game threes.
Guardians are in a good spot, too. They'd be able to go by beat game one in the ALCS. Probably. I'd have to look at the schedule. But the Royals are set up great, too, if they can advance.
We'll see about that. We'll see about all that.
Well, it's true.
We'll see about all that because, as I said in hour number one, I'm much more bullish on the National League.
Royals are going to get to the World Series, aren't they?
I think so.
I hate that. I'll never hear the end of it.
From who?
Everybody.
Well, give me an example. Did you hear the end of it in 15?
But these people I work with at the Wind Surge, I'll never be able to say anything ever to them again.
Well, why would you?
They're all Royals people. And it's gross.
No, it's not.
I got to win, man. I got to win. Get me there somehow.
I don't know.
Steven Vogt.
I don't know. I don't know if you got what it takes.
All right, we always will.
We'll see. We'll see. I wish you the very best. I'm kind of glad you're in this position, and I'm not. Why you're a baseball fan. I'm not a baseball fan. To sit out October, that's not who I am.
Exactly.
What I do when that happens is I do things like I drop Twitter.
I arrange for a kitchen remodel.
I do things that are crazy. And if my team's still playing, I don't do that.
You're going to sit down and watch a game.
I watch the game.
And who cares about what's going on in the rest of the world with some exceptions?
What crazy thing might I do tonight?
I don't know. What do you think? What's on the docket?
That whole Twitter thing is going to haunt me.
Well, you can put your thoughts out there for nobody now. Did you get any followers? Are you really deactivated?
I am deactivated.
I don't believe
And I don't believe I'll go back. At least the way I feel right now, I feel a little bit liberated.
Then why do you feel haunted also?
A little bit free. I said a little bit.
I'm so
There's
confused.
All kinds of elements to my feelings.
Oh, this account doesn't exist. You were
I
right.
I haven't had one solid feeling in 60 years.
I know.
What do you mean you know?
I know. I just know.
There are layers to my feelings. There's different aspects to my feelings.
I know.
It's like a canvas.
I know. These are things that I'm aware of and have been for some time.
But doesn't that make me interesting?
I guess, in a way.
Well, thank you.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
We'll take a break, come back, and play the game after this. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
It is
time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time to play the game here on the Bob and Jeff Show. By the way, 2-hour Raw last night didn't do it for me.
It's weird. I was like, what happened?
About an hour and 20 minutes of it's ads.
Yeah, it wasn't a great show.
And promos. They're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, it was anticlimactic for me.
All right, what's the game?
So we're doing inventions, the years that they were invented. These are all 20th century inventions, so it's like we've done before where you first guess the decade. You can get points that way, and then you can get points or lose points. I'll go over the rules. You can guess the decade. If you're right, 3 points. Then either way, if you're right or wrong, you can guess the year after you've been told the decade. And 5 points if you get it correctly on the dot. 3 points if you miss by 1 year. 1 point if you miss by 2 years.
And you don't have to try to pick the year.
You don't, because if you miss it,
all right,
if you miss it, you miss it by how many years you're missed.
We're aware. I'll go first, Max.
Okay.
And this is right up my alley.
It is?
Go ahead, Max.
That's not what the game.
Jeff.
When was the DVR invented? I need a decade.
The DVR?
Yeah.
The DVR.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the Honda CUV.
What?
CV.
CRV.
A CRV. There you go. The DVR was invented in the 80s.
That's incorrect.
What?
It was invented in...
What? Does not Max not get a chance
No,
to
there's
steal?
No stealing in this game. It's your round and your round only. So you can guess it was the 90s.
Well, I almost said 90s, but I know I had a friend with a VCR in the 80s.
We're not talking about a VCR. We're talking
DVR
about a DVR
in the 80s.
So would you like to guess the year in the 90s? Or you can not guess it?
Well, I got to now.
Okay.
Got to be fairly early, 95.
You are incorrect, and you lose 4 points.
When was it?
1999.
That was TiVo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why didn't you say TiVo?
This is a DVR. That's what TiVo was. And it was the first one. Hey, Max, yours is the microwave oven.
Oh. The 60s.
Incorrect. Much before. It was the 1940s. Would you like to guess the year?
Sure, why not? 44.
You get 3 points.
Oh.
So he
really,
misses it.
There was microwave ovens in the 40s.
1945.
Wow. So he missed.
It was a war
question,
thing,
but still gets 3 points.
Yeah, he guessed. He didn't.
Why
need
don't you
to.
Lose for missing the question?
You don't lose for missing the question.
This is the dumbest game ever.
Yours is the.
There's too big of a penalty. There's too big of a. a difference.
You don't have to guess the year once you're told the decade.
What's the next
this
one?
This could be
this
three.
This is an awful game.
It's 3-4. How about the ATM, the automatic teller machine?
The ATM was invented in, well, that's a tough one. I'll say the 80s.
That's incorrect.
What?
It was the 1960s.
No, it wasn't. My parents never went to an ATM.
Right. Things are invented well before they become popularized. And you got to take that into account. Your grandparents or your parents, my grandparents, did not go to the first ATM. We can say
that.
Well,
if they had it, why wouldn't they roll it out widespread?
They didn't roll it out widespread.
If it worked, why not use it?
There are a lot of things that have been invented now that a lot of people don't have access to.
Give me an idea. Give me an example.
A lot of medical technology, I'm sure.
Well, no. Give me an example.
I don't know the example because they're not widespread
1967.
Yet.
1967.
Yeah, you lose four again.
London.
What?
Shut up,
Mac.
You lose four
this
again.
This whole game sucked.
It was 1963. Max, the hovercraft.
Well, when did the Jetsons come on? That's...
When was the hovercraft invented?
'50s.
Today, Mac.
Need an answer.
The 50s.
That's correct for three.
Max must have looked that
I
up.
Didn't.
Would you?
I looked up the ATM after you said it just to see. 67 was unbelievable.
And you can guess the year in the 50s if you like.
56.
You get another three. It is 9.
Oh, my God.
It is 9
you have,
to negative 8.
You have ruined this game.
It is 9 to negative 8.
Well, I don't even have a chance.
Of course you do. You can
give me the next one.
You can get 10 points or 8 points right here. How about the Rubik's Cube?
The Rubik's Cube?
Yeah, when did the Rubik's?
The 70s.
That's correct for three.
72.
And you get 1 point for that. So you are up to minus 4 now. 9 to minus 4.
Max needs a bad one here. Go, Max.
How about the MRI, Max? The magnetic resonance imaging. When did that?
Oh, that's so easy.
When did that roll out?
The 80s.
So close. It was the 70s. And would you like to guess the year?
Sure, why not? What do I get to lose? 73.
3 points.
Oh, my God.
It is.
These are just.
It is 12
this is
to
just
minus
ridiculous.
4. yours will be the electric refrigerator.
The electric refrigerator.
Yes.
The electric refrigerator.
The electric refrigerator. Yes, you plug this in, your food cools.
Well, they had one on the Andy Griffith Show. I'll say the 19... It's either 30s or 40s. I'll say the 30s.
It's the 10s.
What?
It's the 1910s. And would you like to guess the year?
1915.
You get a point. It's 12 to minus 3. Max, let's go... Let's go something you won't have any idea about. Power windows in cars.
'50s.
Ooh, close. It's the 40s.
My parents never had a power window.
Of course
window.
They didn't.
That was until the 70s.
That was probably a big option, Bob. In the 40s, it was probably like $10.
Yeah, it's...
So would you like to guess the year of the 40s?
Sure, why not? 44.
You lose 4.
Oh, yeah.
It's 8 to negative 3.
When was it?
40. 1940.
All right.
Right
this
on the dot.
This thing's getting tight now.
The disposable camera.
The disposable camera.
Yes.
As opposed to the one you don't dispose.
Right.
We all had that disposable camera. We remember it well from the 70s, so I'll say the 60s.
It's actually, the 80s.
No way.
Yeah.
I'll say 84.
You get a point. 8-2. Max, the garbage.
How many more of these we got?
However many you want. I don't know.
We'll go this one and then three more rounds, or two to three more rounds.
Until you're winning.
If I'm ahead. Go.
Max, the garbage disposal unit.
The 50s.
Incorrect. It was the 20s.
What? 20s?
My parents didn't have a garbage disposal when they...
Just telling you when it was invented.
I didn't have one. That's crazy.
What year, Max, if you'd like to guess? You can always not.
I'll take... what do I get to lose?
8 points.
23.
You lose four again.
Oh, my. Oh, my, Max. You're not going to...
Two more rounds. I have
it was 27.
What's the score?
4-2.
Oh, gosh. Two more rounds.
The cassette tape.
The cassette tape.
Yes.
Well, when it was invented, might be different from... so I'll say the... I know I had cassette tapes in the 70s. I'll say the 60s.
That is correct. For three, you are up to in the positives now. Would you like to guess the year or hope Max chokes?
66.
You get minus three.
What? What year was it?
60. What'd you say? 66.
What's the
it
year?
63.
That's within 3 years. That's a point.
No, it's 2-1, 0-1, or 2 that you get points for. Every other, you lose the points.
Oh my gosh!
I know. I hate it. Max,
Hi-yo.
Where are we going to go?
Hurry up.
How about Gorilla Glue?
Gorilla Glue. Let's say the 80s.
It was the 90s.
Too bad, Max.
I was gonna say the 90s.
Lose four for me right here. What do you have?
93.
Yeah, you get three.
Ah.
It was 1994.
Oh no! What's the score?
7-2. But if you get them both on the dot right here, you win.
No, Max has a shot.
You did go first. The DVD player.
DVD player. The
yes.
DVD player came along in the. Well, I don't think I had it until the 80s. I'll say the 60s.
A DVD player?
70s.
The 90s.
90s?
Of course.
They invent all this other stuff years ahead of time.
Right, but DVD players.
93.
You lose three.
All right, let's take a break.
You're not even going to let Max go again? Finish the game? What if he can't bomb that bad? You do lose, unfortunately.
Congratulations, Max. Your first win.
Would you like to try one more?
Sure, why not?
All right, how about the adhesive bandage?
The 1900s.
That would have been a good one. I didn't actually have any from the 19-aughts. It was the 20s.
Yeah, there you go. You want to guess the year?
Sure, 22.
3 points.
Oh, my God.
1921.
Let's take a break.
That was a good game, Max.
Not really.
You got 10 points.
I was
That's
overdue.
Pretty solid.
You got anything?
What kind of question is that?
I mean, do you have anything? Have anything you'd like to bring up or talk about? Or you never do. I don't
know
how you do a show without me.
I do
what
awesome.
What do you talk about?
Everything. Talk about everything.
Well, bring up something. Ask me a question.
Why do I have to? You don't ask me any questions.
I'm not that interested.
Exactly.
I'm tired. You don't know how draining yesterday was for me.
You don't know how draining yesterday was for me. I had so many things going on. It's like.
I eventually just said today I'm going to bed. The Yankees, I could tell they weren't going to do anything. And by the way, they're not very good. Can I say that again?
You've said it three or four times a segment for the entire show.
Juan Soto ain't going back there.
Yes, he will.
He'll be a Met.
He'll be somewhere.
That's my prediction.
He'll get a lot of money.
That's my prediction. The Mets are where it's at. I don't think Aaron Boone has a clue. He kept Rodon out there way too long. It was obvious he was losing it. He had it in the first inning, and then
That's what I said in the opening
Aaron
of the show.
Boone is not a good manager.
They don't have a pitching plan like these other teams can and do. They don't have anybody to go to. They don't have a second starter. They don't have a bullpen game that they can do. They just don't have what other teams have. They have to.
They better be careful.
Win with Judge and Soto.
You know that? The Mets, the Yankees better be careful because they could hit a skid here like the Cardinals hit.
No, that'll never happen. They got too much money.
Well, the Cardinals have money, and they hit a skid. And the Yankees are in that territory. Because you take away Soto and Judge, they are a marginal baseball team. Gerrit Cole's not what he used to be. Their bullpen's not good. Their starting staff is pretty mundane and average.
Is this not what I've been saying?
Volpe is okay, but he's not a superstar. They don't impress me that much.
Fine, I'm not holding that against you,
because you know I'm right.
Well, I know that there are bits of truth in what you're saying, but I lack the energy to really push back.
Well, I got the energy. Let's match the energy. That would be my suggestion to you. Is when I bring the energy, you need to match it. I was looking at Jeff Borzello's final update to his off-season rankings in college basketball. He's got KU number one. He's got four other Big 12 teams in the top seven and five in the top nine. The Big 12 in basketball is going to be crazy.
Who else is up there? Arizona.
Arizona, Baylor. Hold on a second. Let me think. Iowa State, Arizona, Baylor, Iowa State, and Houston are the other schools besides KU
in the top seven
that he has ranked in the top nine. Five in the top nine.
Okay,
that's nuts.
That adds up. That's five. I had to think about it for a second.
And that doesn't even include K-State, which I think K-State's going to be really good.
I think they will, too, but we'll see how all those
pieces together. I think Texas is going to be good.
I don't know about Texas. I don't know anything about
Texas. Well, I do. This is what I do. I follow.
What have you found out about Texas Tech that makes you?
I just think their coach is good.
Who's their coach?
You know, the guy that went there from North Texas.
Yeah, I've got you.
Don't insult.
We'll see. It's a big step. From the AAC to the Big 12. Just ask Houston, who really struggled when they did it.
They did?
No.
That's the craziest nonsense.
But it could be. It could be a big step for some.
I think BYU will be good. It's going to be.
A lot of teams are going to be good.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Arizona State might be good. I like their coach.
You don't even know
Bobby Hurley's their coach.
It's about time you started to match my level of intensity.
I know a lot of coaches.
I'm looking forward to
Don't ask me any of them.
We're basically less than a month away from basketball.
I get it.
You understand that?
The Pacers have a preseason game tonight.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to watch the preseason game?
I doubt it, but I'll pay attention.
We have Paul Mills, Wichita State coach, on the show next week.
I'm excited.
And
it's not Monday, Thursday, or Friday, but I'm excited.
We have a player this week, and I'm struggling to remember who.
Hope it wasn't today.
Which is too bad. No, it's not today. You don't need to worry about that.
Well, I know. I know what happens sometimes.
Name one of their returning players.
Bijan Cortez.
No.
Xavier Bell.
No.
Quincy Ballard.
No.
Ronnie DeGray.
Yes. We have Ronnie DeGray on Thursday.
That'll be good. Have we had him on the show before?
I don't remember. Seems like we have.
I'm not sure that we have, but maybe we have. It seems like we have. You're right.
I think we have, but I would not swear to it.
Same, but it feels like we have.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't, have we had a Harlan?
Have you given any more thought to tomorrow?
I need to be home.
Can your wife not take the day off?
I don't know. I'll talk to her. I'll see. I don't know.
Well, I need an answer at some point.
It's going to be tough.
I've done some reaching out, and I haven't gotten any response.
It's not going well so far for you?
I can barely hold up this microphone. I am losing my strength at an alarming rate. This feels like it weighs 20 tons.
The NHL begins in a couple days, too.
I couldn't care less.
Can you believe?
I hate that. I'm sorry to say that. I know you think you're some NHL fan now. You're
no,
gonna
I'm not
follow...
an NHL fan. I'm a Predators fan.
Yeah, now you think you're going to follow them?
I believe that I will, yes.
I don't believe you will.
I believe that
you
I
won't
will.
Sit down and watch full game.
Yeah, of course I will. Why wouldn't I?
Of the Nashville Predators.
Why wouldn't
there
I?
There should be. You should have something better to do.
It's hockey. It's a fun game.
I don't understand how people can sit down and watch full games of NBA and NHL. I just don't.
Because they like them and they have a rooting interest.
I'll watch parts, bits and parts of an NBA game occasionally.
Here's a not-so-great part of the NHL opening night or whenever. Tampa Bay opens the season against the Hurricanes, and I don't think – maybe the Hurricanes should change their name for that game.
Well, we got to see. I feel terrible for Florida.
It's awful.
Awful. These Hurricanes are awful. And they're almost more than you can keep up with. It's like crazy. It's like craziness. Hurricanes are terrible. They just devastate. They devastate.
They do.
At least a tornado runs in a swath, and it's not on the ground forever and ever. But a hurricane gets you.
And it builds strength, and it grows. And I don't really understand how hurricanes work, but they're crazy.
Well, go in and talk to your weather people.
Why don't I just I'll just do my own research,
well,
as they
good,
say.
Be a good conversation for you to have.
Yeah, they're busy. They got other stuff going on. They don't need some... plebe
well, no, they'd
the
appreciate the fact that you're showing interest.
Maybe.
No question.
Maybe. Maybe I can make a digital thing out of it.
When are you going to do another, you did something.
Another what?
Didn't you write something recently?
Pieces of Us?
Yeah.
Probably Thursday.
Good. What's it going to be about?
I'm not sure yet. I had an idea, but then it didn't formulate in my head.
Get it formulated.
I'll try.
All right, everybody. That's Max, play the damn music.
Put you us know, out you, of our misery.
There are days we get to the end of the show, and I could go for another hour or two. And then today, it's like, God, Max, where are you? There he is. Thanks for listening, everyone. We enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow in some version. Take care.